The most common cause of big cat suffering is that people will pay to handle cute little lion and tiger cubs. Under current USDA guidelines, cubs can only be used for pay-to-play schemes between the ages of 8 and 12 weeks. After that, they become a very expensive liability and are often given away to anyone who will take them. We suspect that many end up being slaughtered for their parts. Breeders who charge the public to pet and take photos with young cubs tell some or all of the following lies: that the exhibitors are rescuers and operate sanctuaries; that the cubs have a good life while being used to make money; they enjoy being carted around the country in a semi and repeatedly awakened and handled by dozens of people all day; that blowing in the cub's face calms them down; that dangling them by holding under their front arms and bouncing them up and down resets them; and that close-up photos with flash does not harm the cubs; that it is safe for the cubs and for humans and legal to allow contact with the cubs from when they are only a few weeks old to when they are 6 months or more old; that the exhibitor must keep constantly breeding and using the cubs to make money because that is the only way he can support the adult animals he keeps; that the exhibitor is doing this to promote conservation in the wild; that the exhibitor is teaching people not to have exotic animals as pets; and the biggest lie of all, that the cubs will have good homes after they get too big to be used to make money from petting. The facts are: breeders and exhibitors are not sanctuaries. True rescuers and sanctuaries do not breed. Breeding more tigers simply adds to the number of big cats that end up in deplorable conditions or being destroyed to supply the illegal trade in tiger parts. In addition to not being a sanctuary because they breed and do off-site exhibits, these people who claim to love animals so much typically operate facilities where the animal care, while it may comply with the USDA's minimal standards, is far below the standards that any animal lover would find acceptable. Life on the road means being torn from mother, denied natural behaviors, and mistreated. The cubs used for petting exhibits are torn from their mothers shortly after birth, causing emotional pain to both cubs and to the mothers. Imagine what the mother tiger experiences after enduring the long pregnancy and finally giving birth, filled with the instincts to nurture her cubs and then having them snatched away. The breeders take them away and have people handle them so the cubs will imprint on the people instead of doing what is natural and imprinting on their mothers. And what is life like during the months they are used to make money for their owners? Cubs this age want to roam, explore, test their young muscles to develop coordination, and sleep for extended periods of time without interruption. Watch what happens during these exhibits. The cubs are repeatedly awakened so a customer can pet them instead of being allowed the sleep their young bodies need. When they try to wander, they are repeatedly yanked back. And where are they when not on exhibit? They spend endless hours in small cages in trucks, hardly a suitable environment for inquisitive, active young cubs. While used for petting by the public or held for photos with the public, the cubs squirm and try to get away. What do the exhibitors do to control them? One technique used by exhibitors to get the cubs to stop squirming is blowing in the cub's face. Contrary to what the exhibitors say, this does not calm the cub. The cub does not like this any more than you would. This blowing in the face is a way mother tigers discipline their cubs. It is a punishment. The cub becomes inactive temporarily, not because the cub is calm. The cub becomes inactive in fear of what will happen next. The other technique is to dangle the cub from under their front armpits and toss them up and down in the air. One notorious exhibitor tells customers this is to reset the cubs. Another tells customers that this is how the mother tiger holds the cubs, which is equally ridiculous. Being held under the arms and tossed up in the air is just another unnatural and unpleasant experience that causes the cubs stress, making them temporarily stop doing the behavior that is natural, which is trying to squirm away from being held. Cubs are routinely used to make money, both below and above the legal age. While cub displays are inherently cruel for the reasons given in this fact sheet, USDA regulations do allow them, but only for a few weeks. The USDA has ruled that there should be no public contact with the cubs until they are at least 8 weeks old, because that is when they receive their first injections to prevent disease. USDA has ruled that there should be no public contact after the cubs are 12 weeks old, because they are large enough to be dangerous. So the only time it is legal to have the public pet cubs is when they are between the ages of 8 weeks and 12 weeks. However, because enforcement resources are limited, exhibitors flagrantly violate these rules, putting cubs and the public at risk. Abusing cubs is not a necessary or justifiable way to make money to support adult cats. The exhibitors often claim that they have no choice, that they must breed and exploit cubs to make money to support their other animals. But the truth is that true sanctuaries all over the country support their animals without abusing some in order to make money to feed the others. They do this by providing a great home for the animals that far exceeds the minimal legal requirements, and then learning how to attract donors who appreciate the excellent home they are providing. Lacking the ability to do this is not an excuse for abusing tiger cubs to make money. People who are not capable of operating a real sanctuary simply should not own animals. Paying to pet tigers does not support conservation in the wild. No money the public spends to pet or take photos with tiger cubs ever goes to support conservation in the wild. In fact, the opposite is true. There is a huge and growing market for tiger parts and tiger derivatives, i.e. products made out of tiger parts, like tiger bone wine. A dead tiger is worth up to $50,000 for its parts. There is no way to know how many U.S.-born tigers are killed to have their parts illegally sold into this trade. And the more that trade expands, the more incentive the poachers have to kill tigers in the wild, because there will always be a demand for the real tiger, the wild tiger. Petting cubs sends the wrong message about exotic animals as pets. Exhibitors often claim that they are teaching people that exotic animals should not be pets. But what example do they set as they handle the animals and let others do so? Saying that exotic animals do not make good pets while charging people to pet them is a little bit like someone telling people not to use heroin while having a needle sticking in their arm. Do as I say, not as I do, is not a message that works. The websites of these exhibitors frequently show photos or videos of the exhibitor handling, hugging, or kissing adult tigers. This encourages other people to want to be special, like the exhibitor. The way to encourage people not to want exotic animals as pets is to set an example by never having physical contact with them. This is what true sanctuary, people who truly care about the animals, do. Private ownership of exotic animals results in widespread abuse as cute young animals mature and end up being kept in deplorable conditions. While some exhibitors claim they are teaching people not to get exotic animals as pets, others actively promote the trade. But all of them, by their behavior, encourage people to own exotic animals in order to be one of the special people who can have contact with these animals. The cubs are destined for a horrible existence after they are too big to use to make money. This is the single biggest reason not to patronize cub displays. If asked, exhibitors tell patrons that the cubs will end up in some wonderful home, either at their facilities or elsewhere. Current USDA rules allow an owner to keep a tiger in a concrete-floored, chain-link jail cell not much bigger than a parking space, often with nothing to do but walk in circles. Enforcement of the rules that do exist is limited, because it would be economically unfeasible to have enough inspectors to adequately monitor the thousands of tigers owned by people licensed by USDA to exhibit animals. These are animals built to live in the wild, roaming and hunting. They are very intelligent, and they experience a broad range of emotions. We treat criminals in prison far better than the way most owners end up treating captive tigers, whose only crime was being bred by a breeder or exhibitor to make money. There is potential for disease and liability. A statement from the National Association of State Public Health Veterinarians recommends that the public be prohibited from direct contact with tigers due to the risk of illness to humans, stating, "Ringworm in 23 persons and multiple animal species was traced to a Microsporum canis infection in a hand-reared zoo tiger cub. Zoonotic diseases, those that jump to humans, account for 3/4 of all emerging infectious threats, according to the Center for Disease Control. 5 of the 6 diseases the agency regards as top threats to national security are zoonotic. The Journal of Internal Medicine recently estimated that 50 million people worldwide have been infected with zoonotic diseases since 2000, and as many as 78,000 have died. Nothing good will ever come from paying to play with lion or tiger cubs. It always results in a miserable life for the cat and is a real risk to you as well."